Well, let's see. You know, I want to, let me see. First thing, let's talk about books and kids.
That, you know, it's always interesting when I just kind of put in a little amendment, a little bill, and then wait a few days to see what happens.
It's like roll a grenade into the middle of the room. I think the Austin American Statesman dispatched writers to try to find you because they said he has not returned our phone calls.
Jason Embry. Yeah, he finally tracked me down.
Okay, now, and so folks will understand, what you had done is you had discussed the idea that students in private schools, including homeschoolers, might ought to be able to get books, too, because here we have children who are illegal, their parents are illegals, and they're getting books provided by them, by the school, so should private schools or homeschoolers. Is that basically it?
Well, you know, that is kind of a... political commentary on the current state of education, but the bigger picture is that, you know, our state created a permanent school fund, and out of that permanent school fund, we have an available school fund that buys textbooks for school children in Texas. But the Constitution has a word, an adjective in front of schools, and it says public. And so the question is, from a constitutional standpoint, is the permanent school fund there for all the children in Texas, or is it there just for the children in public schools? And I think it's an issue that could be controversial, of course, but it's an appropriate issue to put before the voters of the state of Texas. One of the theories that I'm operating under this session is that on a lot of the problems that we face in state government, public school funding, public school finance, highway funding, the legislature ought to make suggestions on how to improve and then put it before the voters in the form of a constitutional amendment. This is one of them.
I see that two senators, Hinojosa and Wentworth, have floated the idea of putting slot machines in. We're seeing that again.
Well, that one is guaranteed to come because we are so short of funds, and we're having to make tough decisions that there's going to be a significant effort to look for other revenue, and for some, that other revenue is in the form of expanding gambling in the state of Texas. So I'm positive that those issues are going to be moving forward and that we're going to be debating them before the session's over.
And that means these would be slots at the horse tracks and the greyhound tracks, right?
Yeah, and from a public policy standpoint, that thing probably will not pass and in the present form for two reasons. One is that there's a lot of people that are opposed to it in principle, but probably not a majority in either house. But when you then begin to award such a lucrative license to a selected few, the people that own the racetracks or greyhound tracks, and deny it to other people who say, wait, what about us? Then you create another fracture, and then and you never get the votes. I don't know yet what proposal about casino gambling in Texas could pass the legislature. This one probably won't.
Okay, now you're saying this one won't, but I mean, is it within the realm of belief that there might be some kind of a gambling piece of legislation that could pass? And I may just mean the view that it looks right now. Obviously, you're not guaranteeing anything one way or the other.
I don't think so yet. I don't see the differing. There's too many differing factions out there yet to get the 21 votes that's going to be needed in the Senate and 100 votes in the House. Let me just make a commentary on if we decided to do this,
Okay. What
is probably the best way to do it and from a taxpayer standpoint. The best way to do it from a taxpayer standpoint is to auction off the licenses and basically have a auction in the state of Texas that says the state of Texas is going to authorize 6 licenses, 10 licenses, whatever we come up with, to allow you to have a casino, we're going to auction those off to the highest bidder, and then the state's going to take a cut on whatever your gross receipts are. That's probably the fairest way to do it and probably the way to make the most money. This idea of kind of targeting it to a specific industry, it's not going to pass, I don't think.
Sure. State Senator Steve Ogden joining us. Okay, you're chairman of Senate Finance. Jim Pitts is the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, and Susan Combs is the controller. All three of you have said going to have to dip into the rainy day fund, but the guy who's sitting in the governor's chair is still on the other side of that issue, huh?
Well, he is and he isn't. I mean, you got to. I've talked to him privately, and I've also listened to his public statements, and they're more nuanced than is being portrayed. And at the end of the day, the governor's position, I believe, in fact, I know, is until I'm convinced that you guys have scrubbed this budget as much as possible and as much as the voters want us to, don't start spending the rainy day fund. But that's different than we're never going to touch it.
Let's talk about the numbers, sales tax numbers, because I think this is pretty good news in Texas, isn't it?
Yes. The economy is coming back much faster than we thought it might last fall. I think sales tax revenues for the previous month are up 9% year over year, and so we are beginning to climb out of the hole. They're still not back to where they need to be to sort of declare the financial problems of the state of Texas over, because last year sales taxes dropped in the neighborhood of 10 and 12% vis-a-vis the previous year. So if we're up 10% over a drop of 12%, we're still down compared to where we were 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Did you follow that?
Yeah, no, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
but,
certainly.
But it is unambiguously good news that sales taxes are up by that amount. And I think at the end of the day, that's going to relieve some of the pressure that we're feeling on the budget now, but it's too early to start spending the money.
What's the most important stuff that's going to happen between now and next week?
Well, I think the Senate Finance Committee is going to be making some substantive decisions with respect to the two projects that I've given my committee. One is, tell me how much money the Senate thinks we should spend on public education. And I think next week, I think we're going to be able to put some details around that general statement. And I think similarly, I think we're going to begin to start making some significant decisions with respect to Article 2 and Medicaid and health care funding as well. And as I've said before, I've got two subcommittees, seven members each on the Finance Committee, and one's charge is come back to the full committee with a recommendation on how much we appropriate for public education, and the other one is come back to the full committee with a recommendation on how much we should appropriate for Medicaid. They've been working on this for about 3 weeks. I think next week I'm going to say, okay, stop talking and start deciding.
How will that be announced?
Well, I don't know yet. I don't know yet how it announced, but ideally what will happen is that they will get together in a public meeting and vote on recommendations, and then they'll bring it back to the Finance Committee probably the week after next for the whole committee to adopt them. That ideally, but it doesn't have to be done that way.
Gotcha. It's politics. We're not for sure, but we'll look for that. Yeah. All right. Well, I thank you for the time. We'll talk next week, and I promise to answer the phone faster next time.
All right, Scott.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
All right. State Senator Steve Ogden joining us this morning.